This is RJ City, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Yordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Yordano Diablo.
And this week on the show, we are welcoming comedian Vaughn Wesley.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for coming.
You beat well. Jinx.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Vaughn, why do you hate mumble rap?
Well, I hate trap beats. They just all sound alike. It's like the most laziest beat ever. I mean, like, if only one person used it and nobody else, and I wanted to be annoyed by it, but like in every single song you hear now, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it all sounds the same.
Yeah.
And Shear was talking about earlier about how people... I've always considered SoundCloud rap mumble rap. Like, the two are synonymous, like, for me. So when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's just how I've always felt.
I mean, there's that one criticism that, like, like, I don't really have this criticism of it, in which people are like, I can't understand what they're saying, so it's not hip-hop or whatever. I'm like, well, I listen to death metal and all that. Like, I've been really liking Death's Human album lately, and you know, you really can't understand some of the things that Chuck's saying on there, so
yeah, you gotta read the lyrics.
Yeah. And also I like one hip-hop group that I really like is Death Grips, and MC Ride, sometimes you can't understand what he's saying. And it's not mumble rap, it's more like of the experimental hip-hop and industrial hip-hop genres.
So it's really just it's copy paste beat.
Yeah, just like very cookie cutter. It's like here's the new popular music for today, and it's like, oh god.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I worked with a kid. This was 5 years ago, but like, I don't even remember. I don't remember if he went by his name or not, but he like was like, dude, I'm blowing up. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, I got like 20,000 listens on my song. And I was like, where? He's like, SoundCloud. I was like, oh yeah, nobody cares. I have podcasts that used to be on SoundCloud. Nobody gives a fuck.
I also have podcasts on SoundCloud.
And guess what? Nobody gives a fuck.
No, it's probably for the best, honestly, because some of the stuff I put up on SoundCloud was like radio air checks from like the last days of Muhammad's radio.
Yeah.
And I think maybe something I recorded with Mandy Lee.
When I got back from Kalamazoo, we started my original podcast was called The Hativity Scene. Mm-hmm. And this was 3 years before me and him started doing this. We did one episode, and I hate when people find it because I don't have the password to take it down. And every time it's just like, oh my god, listen to how like fucked up you were. I'm like, yeah, I know, I did it. At least it wasn't mumble rap, though, I guess.
And also, all the cadences tend to sound the same with mumble rap. I mean, like, I consider it to be hip-hop's post-grunge, in which, you know, in post-grunge, they do the yarling. Like, I threw a standing line. It's like, we're going to rip off
You mean butt rock.
Yeah. Like, we're going to rip off Eddie Vedder's singing style and just use it as our own.
And make really bad music. Nickelback.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I'm wearing a Limp Bizkit shirt right
now.
That's
a sick Limp Bizkit shirt, though, to be honest with you.
It really is, and I mean, yeah, Fred, his vocals and his rapping style is not that great, but
I don't know if I would call what he did rap.
It's more like nu metal, but yeah. Good, but like, you know, the musicianship behind Limp Bizkit's really good. Like,
DJ Lethal and fucking Wes Borland are both very talented dudes.
Oh yeah, I consider Wes Borland to be like the best nu metal guitarist and one of the most innovative out of everybody else.
He when he walked away from Limp Bizkit, I know he was doing some death metal stuff.
Oh, yeah, he was. I recently just listened to a podcast. He was on the Guitarist for Avenged Sevenfold's podcast.
Oh, and, Johnny, Drinks with Johnny?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they were talking and all that, and he said, like, for 3 years he was, like, doing his own thing. He was, like, doing Big Dumb Face. And,
yeah. Didn't he do something with Buckethead?
I think so.
I think he did. Like right after he left Limp Bizkit, I swear to God, he did something with Buckethead.
Yeah, he's like really dabbled with a bunch of people. Like him and Trent Reznor are pretty tight.
Cool.
I know him and Maynard James Keenan, they get along.
That all makes sense.
Yeah, and I know he was in Marilyn Manson for a little while.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, he got canceled, so
yeah. I mean, I'll still listen to Manson's music, but I'm like, well, I don't really doubt the things that he's done, because I do have his autobiography, and, you know, he tried to kill somebody, as he said in there, and it's like, well, that's that.
Yeah, it's, I think, for the most part, it's difficult when you self-identify as a Satanist and really follow the tracks of that. To not be sketch, because that's basically, you know, the main message of it is take advantage of other people.
That is not true.
When you get,
I've
when you,
read the fucking Satanic Bible. That is not what Anton LaVey was saying.
When you get into the like the actual practice of it, it's a whole lot of sketch.
Well,
it's a whole lot of eugenics, and it's a whole lot of nonsense.
Well, I know Manson was really never a Satanist. He even stated that he never really believed in this stuff, and he's like, I'm friends with Anton, but I don't really believe in the stuff that he says.
The Church of Satan has really gone downhill, because his grandson is a piece of fucking shit.
Yeah,
Anton LaVey is his actual name.
Yeah, it seems like that, like, particularly the people that follow that are like, I'm an edgelord nihilist.
Nah, I just more or less like always appreciated it because I always viewed it as, you know, it's atheism and they basically say it's not turn the other cheek. It's somebody fucks you, fuck them back.
Yeah, but okay, now get into that. When you fuck them back, how do you fuck them back?
Well, whichever way I want to, the most effective way.
Yeah, and like, you get farther into the lore of Satanism, and they teach you how to fuck them back real bad.
So would you rather me be into that or start getting into, like, demonology, Aleister Crowley shit?
I don't know. Which is the least likely that I'm going to see your penis?
Ooh, I don't... Well, there's a lot more boobs in the Church of Satan. So...
I mean... They draw more boobs in with the Crowley stuff.
How do we go from fucking mumble rap to Satan?
Because
give me a Satanist mumble rap. That's what I want.
Because it's the devil's music, Jordan.
It is the devil's music.
Yeah, one group I just previous mentioned, Death Grips, I mean, they're not really a self-identified Satanist, but they have, like, occultism, like, in their lyrics and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, you know, like, Black Sabbath had that kind of stuff in
they
their
lyrics.
They
started that shit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, and that's, I mean, that's a lot of, like, what drew me into, like, darker, weird shit. I just,
yeah,
I like it. Like, I like occultism. I like demonology because I just like, because I don't believe in any of it. Mm. So it's like, it's just very cool for me to learn about, I guess.
Yeah.
Best way to put it.
It's cute.
I mean, for me personally, I just considered myself to be a Unitarian Christian, which I don't really necessarily believe in the Trinity. It doesn't really make sense for me. I just believe in the higher power, and that's that. And
sure.
Jesus is just a human.
Sure.
So did you grow up in the Unitarian Church?
Not really. We were like more of I mean, my parents originally were more Catholic.
Yeah.
Catholic mumble rap.
And then they like basically like when they moved into the Trumbull County area, I think they like went into like some sort of Protestant subdomination or something like that. And just for myself personally, like I consider myself a Unitarian Christian.
Sure. Yeah,
Jew, a Unitarian, and a Satanist all doing a podcast together.
Well, I grew up in the Unitarian Church. Yeah, they it's basically A lot of people from my generation came from mixed marriages. So it was, since my dad's Jewish and my mom was raised Methodist, they were like, well, neither of our families like this, so where can we go to have a religious education for our children? And it was Unitarians. So,
yeah, I know in a lot of religious philosophy and all that, a lot of... people in that sphere, they basically, like, learn from other, like, religions and all that. Very very open-minded compared to, you know, like, a lot of the very fundamentalist people out there.
Yeah, part of the deal is when you grow up in the church, it's a lot of studying not only, you know, old religious stories from Christianity, but once you get a little older, they send you off to a mosque, to a Hindu temple, to a Greek Orthodox church, and you go.
Oh, this is what Unitarians do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, you go to other people's services to kind of see what it's like.
See, I was raised in a household where I wasn't allowed to talk to people that weren't Jehovah's Witnesses.
Ooh.
Yeah, but fortunately, at 8 years old, I became pretty self-aware, and I was like, I don't think I believe in any of this shit. And then I tried for 10 years, and then as soon as me and my first girlfriend broke up, I was out and breaking away. And like, I'm actually starting to get more into like the ex Jehovah's Witness, like, I hate saying this for me, but
anonymous,
like,
anonymous groups,
no, like activism, like, and trying to, like, you know, spread the word that, like, hey, these people are fucked, man. Like, they pride themselves. They literally, think about how stupid this is. They call themselves the truth. Like, when they're talking in their vernacular, it'd be like, oh yeah, he's in the truth. Like, first and foremost, that is like the most asinine fucking thing you can say. Yeah. Second, they've been covering up child sex shit for, I mean, 40 years at least 40 years. And they had one of their governing body members got brought in by the Australian Royal Commission, and why a lot of witnesses are leaving right now is because he blatantly fucking lied on the stand. And how they get behind that is called spiritual warfare. And what that is, or theocratic warfare, I'm sorry, it's theocratic warfare. And it is, they don't say you're lying to protect Jehovah's name, but that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I was raised. And then you two seem like a fairly normal. Well, I won't.
I'm not. I had a bit of a falling out with the Unitarian Church when I got older. It wasn't necessarily out of, like, it was partially because I got to that, you know, what do you do when you're a rebellious teenager in the most liberal religion in the country? You're like, well, I want to say faggot, and I can't do that here. So, because we're the gay marriage church.
Why'd you get kicked out of the Unitarian Church? Well, I called the preacher a dyke. I mean,
it wasn't anything like that, but it was basically like I was too mean. And
I had to counteract faggot with dyke. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
We appeal to everybody.
And also, I found relativism to be suspect because I think what my mother jokingly called the church when she was explaining it to people was the "I'm okay, you're okay" church. So it's like,
that's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can do whatever you want, just let us do whatever we want.
Yeah.
But then, like, in my teenage mind, I was like, wait a minute. I don't want you to believe whatever you want because your beliefs are nonsense. So,
what you think is fucking stupid.
Yeah. So it was hard for me to be like, you know, you have the right to believe whatever you want when part of that goes against my very core.
I was going to ask, like, would you rather sit there and listen to, like, I was going to say, like, a Baptist fire brimstone preacher or mumble rap? And, like, honestly, I know the fire and brimstone preacher would be way more entertaining. Because it would just be, like, all up in your face.
I'd rather go to the third option, which is the stool and the noose.
I'd rather listen to mumble.
Hey,
rap.
I don't know if we need to cut this out, but we can't talk about hanging a Baptist preacher.
I mean, not no.
It's, hey, there's very specific people that are Baptists. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, the last church I went to, I kind of like fell out of it for obvious reasons, what I'm about to say. But I first thought it was like a non-denominational church, and I found it was a Pentecostal church.
Fuck those motherfuckers.
And it's like, well, I'm leaving here because, you know, I'm not very conservative or fundamentalist, so I'm like,
those are like the ones with like the mega churches, right? Like the where they play like they have the fucking shitty Jesus bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
And also the speaking in tongues and
Yeah, that's such weird shit, man.
Do you think that's where mumble rap comes from?
This music's from God. did you guys ever watch the show Weeds?
I know of it.
All right, so that like it sucked after so many seasons, but like in the third season, this like big community is I think it's like a wildfire, so they're moving everybody out and they're trying to move the weed out. And if you know who Kevin Nealon is,
I know
they,
of him.
They have all the people in like the school, this gym or whatever, and there's a fucking like speaking in tongues group, and he's walking around playing the guitar, and he's like, Jesus gonna come save us, Jesus gonna skip us off. All right, now everybody.
I love speaking in tongues. That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing they do. That and getting bit by snakes. See, I would have stuck around at the Pentecostal church if they were bringing out the snakes, because then it's time to like, okay, are you gonna get bit?
Yeah, the one that I went to, they never really brought out snakes.
They're the boring Pentecostals.
They don't have the animal budget.
Yeah.
God wasn't cutting that check.
No, I went to part of the reason that when you're in the Unitarian Church, they send you out when you're a kid to other things is because when you're 14, eighth grade, I guess, so whatever age you are, you're like, you know how in Judaism, when you get to 13 and you complete Hebrew school, you have a bar mitzvah, and that's like your confirmation into Judaism, basically. So the Unitarian equivalent of that is the "what I believe" speech. You get up in front of the congregation and give a speech about what you believe when you're fucking 14, which is
did you have to do that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I wish I had that video.
I used to have it on tape.
No shit, really?
I used to have it on tape. I closed with a joke and it killed.
My man.
Yeah. Nice, nice.
But it was they had a gospel choir come in to sing like during the service, and 'cause we had a lot of guests like that come in and out, and during my speech. My family told me, like, you could see how horrified they were with the stuff that was coming out of my mouth. Like, I was like, Muhammad is a liar. Jesus is bad. And you know what?
Fuck Allah, too, while we're at it.
Yeah, I was like, I was just like an angry teenager. Like, all your monotheistic nonsense is, it makes me angry. And, that was my "what I believe" speech.
No, I mean, it's just like, you know, I came from such like an extremist fucking group, and I won't even say that my family was super extreme with it. I mean, I always call them like faux Jehovah's Witnesses. Not all of them are, but I try not to judge people, but I do anyway. Because I think Christianity as a whole, I think not even Christianity, religion as a whole is fucking the scourge of this world. I think it's caused the most problems, and it's all about money.
For me, it's nationalism.
I mean, nationalism does make a lot of sense, too.
Nationalism, that almost wiped out a whole... Or no, they did wipe out a whole bunch of your people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they did.
And Jimmy's like, and thank God for that. And that's how he ended his speech.
No, nationalism was is terrible.
Yes.
Doug Stanhope's bit about nationalism is great.
Oh, it's so good. I don't remember us going to France. Isn't that what he says? It's like, we kicked Germany's ass. We saved France's ass. He goes, I mean, I think they did, but we weren't there. Whatever that fucking joke is.
Really, when you think about it, the Nazis were defeated by the Soviets. They crushed the Nazis. I mean, like, if you've taken, like, U.S. casualties in World War II, it's about 200,000. Soviet casualties were 8 million.
Yeah, and they also, it was, a lot of it was because they were mowing down their own fucking people are trying to bail.
Yeah, basically, Operation Barbarossa was, this is ethnic cleansing of all Slavs.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Does that mean I'm out?
Yeah, it means you're out.
Oh, shit.
Same with me, because I'm, like, Polish and Russian and Czech and Slovak, so...
Oh, you're just, no wonder you hate nationalism so much.
What do you call us? Was it your European Eastern... No.
It's Peninsula European Trash, yes. And that refers to Greeks and Italians.
Okay, all right. You just tell me I'm not white.
Yeah, I do tell you you're not white. Slavs aren't white.
Yeah, I watched this one movie. It was really good. It's from like 85.
Was it The Shadow?
No, it's called Come and See, which was a Soviet anti-war film. It took the director a while to get it released because of Soviet censorship and so forth. But essentially, it was a part of... it's about a teenager during World War II, a Belarusian teenager. The Nazis basically come to his area and, you know, they're killing people and so forth. And it's considered one of the most realistic war movies ever made. And it's part of, you know, General Plan OST, which, you know, was... I mean, like, the Holocaust was, like, the first phase of the Nazi Grand Plan, but General Plan OST was the second phase, which was the 80-90% genocide of Slavs and then just enslavement of the rest.
He had big plans.
Yeah. Yeah, those goddamn Aryans.
Yeah, I'm a mutt, so I'm pretty much a little bit of everything, and I'm also screwed because besides the Slavic bloodline, I'm also eighth black, so...
Yeah.
My grandfather's half black. His mom and dad banged during the time in which that was not allowed. He was born in 1944.
Oh, wow.
Punk rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely not okay back then, which...
It wasn't okay fucking 15 years after that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, the person that was... I used to go get my son horse riding lessons,
mm-hmm.
and the couple that did it were an interracial couple, and they actually... they went on cruises every year with other interracial couples that like met around the same time that they did, like, back in the 60s, like, right when Loving versus Virginia was starting to be a thing, and just, like, sharing their experiences with it, and, like, how fucked up their lives were just because they decided to, you know, not give a shit about race.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I mean, I watched Devin and Mason grow up with it, man. You know? Their dad's black. You know, their mom's my cousin. I watched them, like, have to go through shit. It's just, like, fucking...
It's ridiculous.
Yes. I don't know how what that has to do with mumble rap, but I'm starting to think that mumble rap might be the next coming of the Nazi party, so we need to be careful.
But imagine being Armenian and Turkish and Turkey and Armenia.
I was just talking about that the other day, and I was like looking up numbers, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Short amount of time, they wiped a lot of motherfuckers out.
Yeah, the Armenian Genocide was the first genocide in the 21st century.
Yeah, it was...
Trendsetters.
They were the...
I mean, 20th century, I mean.
Yeah, they were the model that the Nazis used. Now this podcast isn't going to be played in Turkey.
Because, aw, damn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have a state denial of the Armenian genocide.
Wait, they just straight up...
They say it didn't happen.
Oh, wow. Because I know somebody who fled with her parents when she was very young, and they moved to Egypt, and she watched people get slaughtered. So Turkey can go fuck itself.
It took until Joe Biden to actually like for the United States government to acknowledge the Armenian genocide, because Turkey would get pissed if you publicly condemned the Armenian genocide or even called it a genocide.
Oh, now I just want to get on Facebook and fucking like and like reactivate my account so I can just fucking befriend Turkish people and fucking diplomats and be like, hey, that shit happened. I'm fucking white from America. Get the fuck out.
You can do it on Twitter. Just don't use the hate flow
account. Yeah, the one we don't need banned. I've been banned 4 times in 3 months.
And then, you know, on YouTube, there's the progressive YouTube channel, The Young Turks. And, you know, The Young Turks is actually a name of a historical party of, like, because the Ottoman Empire, like, in the last half became a secular nationalist empire. They were no longer really, like, a religious theocracy. And the party that took over was called the Young Turks, and, you know, they pretty much initiated the Armenian genocide.
Yeah.
Well, that's my favorite Rod Stewart song, just for the record. Young Turks is an amazing song.
Oh, I thought he had a song called Armenian Genocide.
You're like, I think I'm a Rod Stewart fan now.
Yeah, it is weird that they would pick that name, isn't
it? Yeah.
You're not, it's not very progressive of you.
But, yeah.
But it is what it is. Yeah, it's bizarre. I spent some time on Twitter, like, looking for the Turkish accounts that, like, came after, like, Kim Kardashian for thanking Biden for acknowledging the genocide. And just, I was curious as to their argument.
Sure.
And the whole argument behind it is that it wasn't a genocide. It was a forced relocation because they were traitors.
Oh,
Jesus. There was an Armenian fifth column that was interfering with the war they were having in Russia. So in order to save the Ottoman Empire, they got rid of the disloyal Armenians who were fighting against the Turks on their own soil.
Like, okay. That is, you can explain it to me in as many paragraphs as you want to. It's genocide.
Yeah. Mm. It doesn't change the fact of what it is, but that's their argument.
No. I'm glad you like told me that. It's just like, go ahead. You can say what you want. Everybody knows what happened. You want to keep being pieces of shit about it.
And then there's, you know, the good old Communist Party of China with relocating the Muslim Uyghurs to education camps, they like to say.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Another crazy thing is the fact that in Russia, there are North Korean labor camps, and they basically move from one to the other and work these people till they're basically dead.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like the fact that they can get away with that now is so incredibly fucked.
And they're on the train lines, too.
Yeah,
so
it's
not like you can't not find them. Like, everybody knows they're there. It's just nobody does anything about it.
Yeah. Well, because Russia makes money off of it. Mm.
Yeah. Like, that's how... Well, North Korea does, too. That's why the camps exist. And then everybody's making money off this, this forced Uyghur labor. Mm. And then there are countries like... coming out to somehow like smooth over their relations with China, saying like, no, this isn't happening.
Like John Cena apologizing to China.
Oh God.
I apologize. I acknowledge a country that is democratic and is not authoritarian unlike you.
And not a super world power, but I guess I have to apologize because you guys are the next one.
Yeah, just imagine if you had to apologize like that for acknowledging the Armenian genocide. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like you're not allowed to say Taiwan in China. Like Taiwan doesn't exist.
I say we send John Cena, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, we send them all right to China and fucking just let them go through. The Rock will be diplomatic about it. Stone Cold will get in people's face. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good for the world.
I think you're overestimating their abilities due to their the large number of people on the other side of that equation.
Mm. What have they brought all... China's got so many goddamn people. Too many.
Yeah, I know a while back, Taylor Swift was doing a tour in China, and she had, like, a pin that had TS89 on it.
Oh, wow.
And for the audience that doesn't know what that means in China, to the Chinese, they thought she was supporting basically the victims of the Tiananmen Square massacre that happened in 89 that the Chinese government did upon its people.
But it didn't really mean that, did it?
No. Wasn't it Taylor Swift and the name of her record was 89 or something like
that? Yeah, because she was born in 89.
Wow. Did she have to apologize?
I don't know. I didn't really look into it too much, but I know that happened.
I'm curious, though, now that we're talking about other countries, as far as, like, is there mumble rap in other... I know they barely speak English, but, like, I wonder if there's, like, Chinese mumble rap or, like, Japanese mumble rap or, like, not... Well, there's not Armenian mumble rap, if we're going to be honest, but...
I mean, Kanye may have helped that out since his ex-wife now is Armenian and all that. Though, personally, of American Armenians, I prefer the guys of System of a Down over the Kardashians.
That's fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were actually out on the front lines saying, no, the genocide happened, like, out in Europe, where that's, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
So it was, it's insane.
You know, speaking of Russia, like, since, you know, Russia has, like, one of the biggest, like, countries with anti-LGBT plus laws, it's weird because the Russian porn industry is pretty big over there, and, you know, they have, like, you know, bisexual and, like, gay porn and porn actresses and actors over there, so it's kind of, like, weird that it's like, huh.
And the government probably makes money off of it.
Yeah.
That's why they let people get away with it.
Yeah, that's got to be it. As long as you can get a taste of your faggotry.
Because, you know, you'll go...
I'm going to poot that in your butt.
Because if you know, go on Pornhub and all that, you just browse around, like... I mean, there's, like, professional, and then there's, like, more, like, amateur porn that comes from Europe. A lot of it I see is, like, from, like, Eastern Europe, like, in Austria and, like, Russia and all that.
Yeah, part of the rising nationalist... sympathies of Eastern Europe is being anti-LGBT.
Yeah.
Especially...
And racist.
Yeah, and racist.
And racist.
But it's, you know, they're raising some alarms.
Dude, that shit that happened in Poland, like, was that last year? That, like, they had that fucking march that there was, like, 5 or 10,000 National Socialists?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking scary, dude. That's scary.
It's weird that they're neo-Nazis and they're also Poles, and it's like...
You know what they did to you guys?
Like, don't you know that Hitler, part of the genocide against him was happening, but, like, what the full plan was, we're going to wipe out 80-90% of you, enslave the rest, and then brainwash the children to make them think that they're German?
Yeah, that was the whole deal. But they're like, no, this is a great idea, but... What if instead of Germans, they were Polish?
Well, we got to keep as many Germans around as we can, so let's just go turn the Poles into Germans and kill the Jews.
And then there's, because there's this video on YouTube, it was released, I think, from Independent UK or some sort of British news tabloid.
Yeah.
In which there's a video on a train of this one, drunk... young British dude just harassing this Polish immigrant, and because the Polish immigrant was, like, drinking on the train, and he's like, and, you know, the British dude was like, oh, if you don't obey British law, English laws, get out, and so forth, because, you know, in UK right now, like, the biggest immigrants are coming from Poland, and, you know, there's a lot of anti-Polish sentiment coming out of the UK.
Move them all to Parma.
I mean, why not? That's. I think we need more immigrants, honestly, in this country.
We have the room. They act like we don't have the fucking room, but we have the room.
We got plenty of goddamn room.
Currently, right now, in the white America, it's like no more brown people.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. We need more people. Period.
Yeah.
We've got all these empty houses.
I mean, and not, I mean, there's not only that, dude. I mean, you think about, like, we literally could take in refugees from any country and they could set them up in, well, I wouldn't want to set them up in Texas because they wouldn't last long. But, like, you could set them up in, you know, Utah, Wyoming, like, anything. Like, there's room. There's room. All you have to do is run the fucking water and power lines out there, you assholes.
Well, there's room in the cities as there is. There's plenty of unoccupied units in the cities that nobody can afford.
Yeah, especially East Cleveland, dude. Like, they, I mean, half those houses that are just fucking wiped out, if they would build them up a little bit, help people out.
Man, like, I used to take the bus from downtown Akron to Barberton.
Mm-hmm.
And on that bus line, you would just pass boarded house after boarded house after boarded house. And it wasn't like crack houses. Like, that wasn't why they were boarded up. It was because, like, you know, when everybody lost their money in the 2008 thing, like, all these people lost their houses. And now they're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can put people in there. You can even knock it down and build new houses. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
We have plenty of room. It is ridiculous to think that we don't. And, you know, we, in the early part of the 20th century, like, a bunch of people here didn't speak English, and it was...
Oh, yeah. And there was, you know, a bunch of, like, if you're not WASP, then get out, basically, which, you know, if any of the people listening to this, if you don't know what WASP means, it means white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you were not part of that, then... Get the fuck out.
Didn't somebody come on and talk about WASPs?
Probably.
I think we did have an episode where somebody did that, or they wanted to.
Probably, but, you know, that's where the whole Slavs aren't white thing comes from. It's from early 20th century, well, late 19th century, early 20th century racism.
Yeah.
It was just any. It wasn't just, like, you know, the Irish weren't white because they're Catholic, and... The
I mean, look, gangs in New York. I mean, they treated Irish people like they not as bad as black people, but I mean, like, I think I would say Irish people were probably a close second at that time.
I mean, really, like, to me, in all honesty, like, in the earlier 20th century, like, in America, white privilege really didn't exist. It was mostly, like, Anglo-Saxon supremacy. Like, if you were not English, from any English descent, then you were, like, you're below us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, that's starting to, the thing that really gets me about a lot of the white nationalism that's coming up lately, it's... A lot of these people are coming from groups that would, like, have had no privilege, like, back in the day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, they forgot where they came from. So I like to remind them.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it's very hypocritical that you have people that, like most, I would say, Europeans and, like, Northeastern Ohio are not from the UK. And, and it's like, and if they, like, go about, like, oh, all these immigrants and all that, and it's like, do you remember where you come from? Like, when your relatives were coming here in the early 20th century, there's other white people who are like, get the fuck out, you're a criminal, you're a scum, and all that.
Yeah, and then they get mad that black people are moving into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we thought the same thing about you, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to do the same thing to another group of people? Like, screw you. This is stupid.
Yeah.
All of it is stupid.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, and, like, the West, I mean, it's like North America, Europe, and Middle East, you know, with any extremist group, the number one group they all hate are the Jews.
Oh, yeah, everybody hates us. It's the best. It is the goddamn best.
And that goes back thousands of years.
Yeah.
That's old school hate.
I might be Jewish as well. I just have to do a DNA test because my dad's side of the family are, like, German, Slavic, Austrian, Lithuanian, Hungarian, and, you know, that's...
And your family just fucked everybody, man.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, here's a dick.
Pretty much. I mean, because my, I mean, my grandmother, she's remarried right now, but, because my grandfather, he passed away from, like, in 2000 from cancer, so I never really got to meet him, but from what she told me, like, he had a big dick.
I mean, that is something that I want to hear from Grandma.
Like, she's like, it was big, and it's like, well, those African genetics.
I mean, that could be part of it.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about my family members' members, too, but I'm not going to put that out on...
Family members' members.
Yeah, that's what I said, but I'm not going to put that out on Front Street because they're still alive.
John Brown said something very funny a while back in which he was, like, talking about poor, and he's like, apparently everybody... he's like, I thought big dicks were rare, but now apparently they're common. Because, you know, you go on porn, and it's like, big dick, big dick, big dick. Homemade porn, big dick.
Yeah, you start with a Squirtle, you end up with a Blastoise, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, like, some of it's like...
I just made a Pokemon sex joke. I should get a fucking candy for that.
But some of it's like... some of them are, like, well-endowed, but, like, a lot of it's, like, camera tricks in which, like, how they, like, film it and all that to make it look that big.
I need to learn some of them tricks.
Just so you can look in the mirror and be like, oh, my dick's big.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's more for just my own.
You start sending dick pics?
To myself.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel good about myself now.
She was like, I'm going to text a dick pic from Facebook Messenger to my phone.
Yeah. Well, that's the only, there had been a couple people that have asked, and I've been like, no. And they're like, why? I sent you pics, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't trust you.
I've obliged twice. I think I've divulged that on the show before. I've obliged two times. I was asked. I didn't fucking just send a dick pic, but whatever.
I know somebody that's pansexual, and if you ask him, like, oh, can I see your dick? He's like, all right, I'll show you.
Yeah, it's one thing to, like, ask to see it. It's another thing to be like,
hey, here it is.
This is my opening line. Here's the dick.
I mean, if it's going to be an opening line, I hope there's a line of coke on it, because then I'm interested. I'll do a line off your boner.
Yeah, I didn't, like, because I remember a while back, I just thought of a joke, because, you know, since, like, you know, doing coke off of tits is a thing,
mm-hmm.
I thought, like, oh, this is so absurd to do a coke off of boner, but, you know, I was watching, and I wrote a joke about that.
I've seen somebody do it right in front of me.
So I was watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia one day, and somebody, like, mentioned that on the show. I'm like, well, it's a thing, so this is not too absurd.
No, it's not absurd. This is, yeah, because it, like, I don't want to get too much into, like, why it's a thing, because it's just going to bring back happy memories.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Nice.
You know, the best thing about mumble rap
is the racism.
is when you're listening to mumble rap on 5 bars of Xanax so they can really get the music, and then you do a line off a dude's boner, and they come in your face once the trap beat hits.
Now let's the beat drop.
Another thing about mumble rap is that it was kind of like hair metal from the 80s, in which it was like no flash, but like all flash, but no substance.
Yeah.
I would say Motley Crue would be the only band with substance from back then, because they started it, but
yeah,
yeah,
really,
no, I completely agree with you.
Motley Crue is really good. Mm-hmm. Mick Mars is really good a guitarist.
I have a shirt that says Mick fucking Mars on it.
Nice. Yeah.
So, you know, there's outliers in everything. You said that there are a couple of artists that you like that are kind of considered mumble rap. Any of the big names really strike you as there's something here?
I mean, to me, it's like make better beats.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Get rid of those tattoos on your face. Every 20 other mumble rappers have a tattoo on your face. Be original, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I do follow this one YouTuber called the Punk Rock NBA.
I follow that guy.
I really like his stuff, and, you know, he's more into, like, mumble rap and all that. It's like, why, dude, why? But, like, to me, like, and he's like, well, part of it is that he's like, oh, this is, like, really punk. And it's like, well, if you really want to see something punk, listen to Death Grips, and even, like, look at the lead singer of Death Grips, what he looks like. Like, one thing about MC Ride is that he often has his shirt off, and a lot of people, like, picture him with his shirt off, and, you know, he has, like, all these tattoos and all that, and he looks more like, he looks less of a rapper, more like a hardcore metal guy, which is pretty interesting. Like, really, Death Grips is part of the whole, like, post-genre thing that people are talking about now.
Yeah.
Like, they're a part of that. Poppy, who's been making a name for herself lately, she's a part of that. Grimes, who is Elon Musk's girlfriend, she's a part of that.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody would fuck that alien other than his money.
Yeah, he's, I don't really like billionaires in general.
No, neither do I.
I don't.
I like Bruce Wayne. He's the only billionaire I really
like.
Yeah,
same.
I guess Tony Stark, too.
Yeah.
I like fake billionaires, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you like the idealized billionaire? The billionaire that actually does something useful with their money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a meme in which some guy wrote that's like, oh, Jeff Bezos has all this fucking money. He's not becoming like Iron Man or Batman. He's lazy as hell.
No, he just lives off the back of fucking telling people that I'm not going to pay you to go to the bathroom. The guy's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
I can't fathom how they've been able to get away with that for as long as they have.
It's insane. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd just be able to, okay, enough people are complaining about this.
Let's try to fix it.
Yeah, but nobody's fixed it. They've quashed organization attempts to even, you know, the union was busted down in Alabama recently.
Well, how is he going to be worth $1 trillion if he has to pay people better?
The company that I work for is finally... bring up the minimum wage of how they're paying people. I work for Giant Eagle, and the union right now is currently in discussion of like paying us like $11 per hour, which since I started 2 years ago, it'll be like $12 per hour because I'm like at $9.45 right now. Yeah, Giant Eagle is like really one of the lowest paying jobs in the area.
Yeah. I started at
Get a job at Target, dude. They're starting cashiers at $15 an hour right now.
Yeah, they're not union. That's one of the benefits of being at Giant Eagle is your union.
Yeah.
I started at the place that was like that got bought by Giant Eagle, and like it was right when the minimum wage increased from like $4.75 to $5.15. That's how goddamn old I am.
Yeah.
And I remember it being a big deal that they had to switch everybody's pay.
I might have write a mumble rap song about it. Nobody will understand what the fuck you're saying.
I do find it cool that...
That's my new joint, Jeremy.
I do find it cool that a lot of the mumble rappers, I mean, besides, you know, being fans and then being influenced from, like, you know, other hip-hop artists, I do like how they're, like, influenced from, like, metal and, like, rock and punk and all that. So it's like, I do appreciate that part, so I just don't like their music.
Yeah, I think the reason that people tend to say it's punk is because it's so lo-fi that anybody can do it, which is kind of like the spirit of punk, that here's three chords, now start a band.
Yeah.
Here's a trap beat, go make a record.
I mean, if you really want to do something really good in hip-hop, do what, particularly mainstream-wise. I mean, it was, like, the sound of the album was, like, in the middle of mainstream and alternative, but really blew up, and that was To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. That was really good.
Yeah.
That, like, mixed a bunch of stuff together, like experimental hip-hop, G-funk, jazz rap, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily have to find anything interesting. I just have to be able to, you know, does this match when I'm like, I've been listening to nothing but Boz Scaggs for the past 3 weeks. And that and sports talk. Like, that's it. Nothing else. It has not left my CD player. And it's not because I love Boz Scaggs. It's just because this is what I feel like listening to when I'm driving around.
I listen between 7 and 8 hours of Jim Cornette a week. That's what I have time for now.
Yeah, I know Rob Zombie was on Joe Rogan's podcast a while back, and Rob was talking about how, like, now he just finds, he has an issue with a lot of young bands, which they just compartmentalize, like, all right, this is what we're influenced by, and that's that, and nothing else. And Rob was going on about how, like, well, back when he was, like, starting out, it's like, well, we're going to play ZZ Top riffs, but we're going to play them really fast. Mm-hmm. It's like that very like experimental kind of thing. Like one thing I liked what Death Grips did was that they like, I mean, he talks about other stuff as well, Stefan, MC Ride, but like he'll talk about like some typical hip hop tropes like sex, drug abuse, drugs and all that, but he'll also talk about like occultism, economic collapse, and techno-futurism, a bunch of other interesting stuff like that. But while he's doing that, it's over a like a rock, punk, electronic, industrial, and noise influence sound. Kind of like what Dr. Dre did in the early 90s. It's like, well, I'm going to, you know, have gangster rap lyrics, but I'm going to do it over a funk beat to do something interesting and unique.
Absolutely.
Which I think people need to start mixing genres together more and more.
Yes and no. Just depends on what it is.
Yeah.
We don't need country and fucking rap, and we've already had that.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm not really a fan of that.
No. I'm just saying, like, some, you know, crossing genres can be fine, but most of the time it's not good.
Like, really, one of my favorite bands that did that, they did, like, I don't know, very, like absurd, just awesome level, and that's Mr. Bungle, which I love Mr. Bungle. Just Mike Patton is just great and so forth, and really you could say they were kind of like the pioneers of like the post-genre idea, because it's just like a mix of everything. And then Melvins as well was a pioneer of that, and it's like, well, we're just going to have like art rock with punk and metal, and just fuck it, let's just do it.
Yeah,
and nonsense.
Yeah.
Lots of nonsense.
And nu metal was a big thing, like, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, a big mainstream thing. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter what you mix together, just be good at it. I mean, there's a lot of forgettable bands in the nu metal boom, but
I just get mad when System of a Down gets wrapped in with those bands because they came out at the same time.
Yeah.
And System of a Down is not nu metal, and they blow every single one of those bands out of the water, and they fucking get lumped in with a bunch of bullshit. It's pissed me off for 20 years.
Yeah, a lot of people are very debating about that. It's like, are they nu metal, or are they more alt metal, or are they avant-garde metal, or whatever?
They're System of a Down. Who cares?
Yeah, they're Armenian.
Yeah, we're an Armenian band. I saw that on like
we're coming to your town. There's going to be a million of us, and we're going to die on the way. We're an Armenian band.
We're coming to Egypt.
I saw like an article in which they did like a little parody of like, you know, Grand Funk Railroads. Like, we're an American band. We're an Armenian band.
So they actually did the thing. Oh, damn it! Yeah. I'm going to have to go find that now.
Then there's, you know, with, like, in the early 90s, and even the late 80s, with the technical death metal boom that happened underground with, you know, Death's Human and all that, in which it's, like, a lot of the death metal bands started, like, getting tired of playing death metal. Like, a lot of the thrash bands got tired of playing thrash metal. It's like, well, how fast, how heavy are we going to keep going? Let's experiment a little bit. And a lot of the technical death metal bands, like, they took influences from, like, jazz fusion and progressive metal and even, like, avant-garde metal, and just like, oh, let's try something different. And really, like, I can listen to Death's Human album just over and over and over. I mean, it's a really short album. It's like 36 minutes long, but it really holds up quite well. And go ahead there, Jeremy.
My favorite is grindcore, because you don't even have to listen to the music. All you have to do is read the song titles, and it's the same experience.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have to listen to Anal Cunt. I can just, like, look at their song title.
I know what this is about.
I just, I mean, I haven't listened to it yet, but I saw, like, all the songs off of Napalm Death Scum, and, like, all of them are, like, under 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
I saw them a couple years back. Who was on that show? It was them. It was one of the weirdest shows. It was them, the Melvins, and somebody else. It was one of the weirdest shows, like, weirdest lineups I've ever seen, but it was really cool.
One lineup I would like to see, I'll have to contact my friend here soon to see if he wants to come see with me. Like, over in Pittsburgh, you have Gorgeera, Deftones, and Poppy headlining, and it's like, oh, fuck, I would like to see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, when it comes down to, like, the best heavy band right now, I would say Gorgeera takes the top spot.
Man, I haven't seen Deftones.
Only because Power Trip, the guy from Power Trip, died. Power Trip was a fucking great band.
I saw the Deftones at Nautica back. It was some festival that was sponsored by FYE, of all places. Like, remember when corporate record stores were a thing? So
I still have a FYE by my area.
Oh, I didn't know they still existed.
Yeah, they'll, like, you know, sell, like, you Simpsons seasons, and, like, they'll sell, like, Ren and Stimpy stuff, and a bunch of other stuff as well, and they have a lot of cool stuff over there. I mean, I don't go in there that much. I mean, I mostly go to BAM or, like, Hot Topic or Spencer's to see if I won something.
Wait, won something?
Oh, if I won something is what I meant.
Like, what would you win?
Oh, well, not really win anything, just buy something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, last thing I got for a shirt-wise was at Hot Topic, and I got a David Bowie shirt, and I really like it. I mean, it's tight around my shoulders because my muscles have kind of expanded over the years, but...
all that working at Giant Eagle. Giving you them guns. Get them grocery store gains.
But they do have a nice Gorgeira shirt at Hot Topic. I'm like, I might get this.
I used to go there when I was a kid to get band shirts. And then I went a couple years ago because somebody got this brilliant idea that I should take a podcast character I did that was a Juggalo and do it in real life. So I was like, well, where do I go to get Juggalo stuff? I'll go to Hot Topic. And they did not have any Juggalo stuff, so I had to make my own. I think I went to Spencer's, and they had a Joker card hat or something. But
that makes sense.
Yeah,
and Spencer's.
Yeah,
they had a lot of Bullet Club shirts when
at
I was,
Spencer too.
No, at Hot Topic.
Oh yeah, it was right around that time when all that shit was flying off the shelves.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I want these shirts, but this is not what I'm looking for.
And whenever they have a Run the Jewel shirt in stock at my local Hot Topic, I'll definitely get that. I do like Run the Jewels. They got some good stuff.
Yeah, I saw them about, I don't know, it was probably 2015 or 16. I went and saw them in Detroit, and they fucking blew the roof off that joint, man.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Bon, what was the last concert you went to?
Fun fact, I've never really been to a major concert before. I've been mostly to, like, local, like, underground stuff. I mean, I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for, like, the, you know, the high school, yearly high school bands that they have there. I've been there before and seen a group of friends of mine perform for that.
Yeah, I did the... I remember the high school rock... This is before the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They had it at Peabody's when Peabody's was in the Flats. And my friend's band lost to a ska band. Oh. They were so mad.
Yeah, that's offensive.
But it was who sells the most tickets. And there are more people in a ska band, so they could sell more tickets. It was a scam.
It was a bringer show.
Yeah, I know that the band that won that night, that day that I went to see them, they basically, like, I think there's like 6, 7, 8 of them, and it was like blues and jazzy and rocky and all that. It was like a variety of stuff. And my friends pretty much just thought, like, this is a scam. They, like, it's also like, what school donates the most money to the rock and roll rock off thing?
That's definitely part of it. But at least they didn't get a Is Gorilla promotion still around?
I don't believe so. I think they finally got, you know, people were done with their bullshit.
Yeah. That used to be a thing where it was like, hey, sell tickets for this headlining band and we'll give you 15 minutes opening for them, like, way before anybody shows up.
No, we'll give you... Then they did it to 15 fucking bands.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 12 bands would play in Pirates Cove and they were opening for the big act. No, you're playing in a different room. Sorry.
Yeah, it was all nonsense.
Yeah.
Though I have seen a comedian live before. I went over to Pittsburgh with a friend of mine to see him, Eric Andre. He did a show over in Pittsburgh about 2 years ago now, and that was a fun show. He teased a little scene from a Bad Trip that was recently released and so forth. It was a fun show. He had his feature come out, and his feature was funny, and then Eric did his nonsense for an hour and so forth. It was a fun show. I mean, too bad I had a headache the whole time, and then even driving back home, I'm like, this is fucking terrible, having a headache. And then, like, once I dropped my friend off and got home, I'm like, I'm going right to bed.
Yep. We can't even enjoy the fact that you just saw a great show.
Yeah.
There's this headache.
I know, like, it was, like, around that time that Eric came to Pittsburgh, it was, like, in November, November 3rd of 2019, I saw him with my friend. I know around that time, Norm MacDonald, Louis C.K., and Bill Burr came up to Cleveland and did some shows.
Yep. It's always keep an eye on the Pickwick website, especially now, because I've been talking to some guys, and they're like, yeah, everybody that used to do theaters are doing clubs. So it's a really good time to, like, be checking out the club website and seeing who's coming, because you never know. Because, you know, nobody has theaters at full capacity yet.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what's open? Comedy clubs are still open. They have to be. So.
Hell yeah.
Louis C.K. is actually, he's coming in a couple weeks to Pickwick, but it's probably sold out by now.
Yeah.
He's sold out pretty quick.
Oh, I definitely would see him live. I mean, yeah, what he did was nasty, but it's like, this is not Bill Cosby level bad. He didn't drug and rape people and all that. He just asked somebody. I mean, he abused his power, but he asked somebody, can I jack off in front of you and so forth? It's like, that's not as bad as, like, Cosby or Spacey or even Weinstein did.
Here's my issue with it. Because you say, eh, it's not so bad. There are, like, 50 other dudes that now think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
And that's not okay.
Yeah, I mean, people that do that should be punished, but it's like, if you think about it, it's not as bad. I mean, it is like more of a misdemeanor to me. It is a like a low-level crime to me, but it should be stomped out.
I don't know, man. It's complicated.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
It's less complicated to me because I'm like, no, fuck that guy. But you know, I just know too many people that have been fucked with for me to, like,
let it be
lenient about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, me saying, no, fuck that guy, like, instantly pegs you as, oh, you're just saying that to get clout. And it's like, no, I'm saying this because, like, a bunch of people I know got fucked with and it's bullshit. But it doesn't matter, like, what your actual reasoning behind it is. It just, people like will paint whatever picture of you they think based on the narrative that keeps getting spouted out. So
yeah, like, I know a while back Bill Maher was on Rogan's podcast and he made a good point about the whole Louis C.K. Situation, which he's like he brought up how like Charlie Sheen recently did a commercial for like the Super Bowl or whatever, and he's like, well, the shit that Charlie Sheen has done is way worse than what Louis's done. Like, for example, like, I mean, it's similar of what happened these two separate times, but like in 2009, like he it was like in Colorado, and he like pulled out a knife, and like he was drunk and he pulled out a knife and tried to slit his now ex-wife's throat. And then like in 2013, he was like it was at a dentist's office and he was getting surgery done. He was under anesthesia and like he woke up and like he was like, you know, half conscious, but he woke up and like pulled a knife out and tried to like cut the lady that was helping him out with the surgery. And then there's the whole thing in which, you know, he had sex with a bunch of women and didn't tell them that he had HIV.
Yeah.
And then he blackmailed them about it.
Yeah, no, he's a goddamn disaster.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really care what he does, and I thought that way when he was, like, when he was on his manic episode of Fun. But, you know, the difference between Charlie Sheen and Louis C.K. is Charlie Sheen is handsome. So, Vaughn, where can we find you on the internet?
Vaughn Wesley is my Facebook name. Vaughn Wesley is also my YouTube name. My Instagram is, I mean, I have two Instagrams. The other one I don't really post too much. I mostly posted memes on that. But, I mean, my Instagram right now, my main one is VAUG Wesley.
There you have it. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates mumble rap as much as Vaughn and Wesley.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying no.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.